The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase out of the week. It's the dog days of summer, so go to BubbleGenius.com for their Happy Fluff Pup Wash Soap. It's soap for your dog, and frankly, I've actually used it on myself, too. Specially formulated for a very sensitive puppy, this soap's got essential oils that act as natural flea repellents and skin conditioners, plus colloidal oatmeal and shea butter to help alleviate itchy skin and to condition the coat. The raised paw bumps on the soap can also act as a bit of a massage bar. Only $6 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order, only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
It was not written for chiefs.
What you mean not written for chiefs? Of course,
sir. Hear me. Hear this! We the people. That what you called Eid Plebnista was not written for the chiefs or the kings or the warriors or the rich or the powerful, but for all the people. Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution, these words and the words that follow were not written only for the Yangs, but for the Kongs as well.
The Kongs?
They must apply to everyone, or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
I do not fully understand.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I feel like a supermodel, except like times 10.
Oh, hi. It is Thursday, June 23, 2016. And this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza. Once again, live from Palm Springs, California.
I am still here. I am still here. And I'm still drunk. Right.
Still drinking, still drunk. You've got, what are you drinking today on vacation? Champagne?
Yeah, champagne.
Do you want to plug the brand of champagne? Is it a fancy schmancy one? Or?
It's Moët. It's very nice.
Okay. I think it'll be another exciting show. Current temperature in Palm Springs, California, 103 degrees on its way up to a high of 107, everybody.
Yeah, I had dinner with Chris Lavoie last night.
Ah, awesome. Yeah!
Had such a great time, a terrific time. And it's funny because, like, you know you're an idiot when you talk about the weather. Like, uh-huh. That's what I do. But out yeah. here, it's, like, it's astonishing how often that comes up. Because everybody, I mean, apparently, like, first of all, it was 118 in L.A. last Sunday, which is, I've never seen it get up that high. The highest I've ever seen in L.A. is 108. And it has been 127 out here. Over the past couple of weeks, which is just, I mean, it's just an obscene, like, it's difficult to describe to you what that feels like. It's like, you go outside, and I have, like, this, I've had this sort of, like, crappy, like, ball chain that I've worn around my neck for forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, like, immediately you have to, like, it burns against your skin. Immediately. It's like being hit in the face with a hairdryer.
Yeah, it's like when you pull your pair of pants out of the dryer right after it's done drying, and yeah. you burn your hand on the zipper.
Exactly. You that's, grab it, the that's pants. It exactly. Yeah, it's just, it's dude, it's hot as hell out here. I mean, it's been nice, you know, I hate to say it, like, when it's in the upper 90s or low 100s, it's not that terrible. Like, we, you know, we've got the pool, and it's wonderful, and it's great. But yeah, this is my last official day and night here. Karen and I will leave tomorrow, probably in the morning or early afternoon.
Right. And so you're going to be back in your own studio. I say studio. Your own apartment. On Friday for the after party.
Yes,
so we
yes,
get on to that. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be there.
So what do you do there? I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I imagine if it's God, if it's 170 degrees and you're on vacation in Palm Springs, what do you just sit in your hotel room and get hammered? Is that the process?
No,
or you go to the pool?
No, you go to the pool. I mean, I'm literally my room. I open up my little French doors here, and it's the pool is right in front of me. Taryn's out there sunning herself right now. Yeah, and we spent the past couple days just either, you know, kind of going from the shade to the sun to the pool to, and I mean, you know, it's hot now. Yeah. But admittedly, like, we're right up against the mountain, so when it gets to be around, you know, 4, whatever, it's gorgeous. It's, you know, you get the shadow of the mountain, and it's really nice, and it's just beautiful. I love Palm Springs.
Whenever it gets that hot, I always want to try that experiment from the old commercials. I want to try to fry an egg on the sidewalk.
Yeah, you could probably do that, actually.
Jesus Christ. Well, it's good. I'm glad to hear that you're having a good time and that it's blazingly hot there for you. And I imagine there's lots of rinsing off that you have to do after just sweating. I mean, because I would just go there and sweat. I mean, I lived in Hawaii for 5 years. I sat around and sweated the whole time.
But you're, you know, we all know the joke. It's a dry heat.
it's a dry heat.
You sweat, but it's not like, I mean, it's not like, this is far easier to deal with than like 84, 85 degrees
yeah.
in Miami.
Yeah, well,
which is just it's suffocating.
All right, digging into it today. I'm sure you've been following the Democrats in the House staging a sit-in on the House floor, and after 24 hours, they finally wrapped up. But I mean, it was a pretty big deal, and it looks like they may end up getting a vote on at least one thing that will fail.
Yeah.
And if it passes by some miracle, it'll go into the Senate and it'll fail there.
Yeah. I mean, I like what you said for Salon, though. I like that if nothing else, this really showed who is on the side of the people.
Yes.
Yeah. Who is on the side of the people. And you know what? Like, I don't want to bring everything back to Bernie, but there is this sort of, we've complained about it before, there is this sort of very left-wing very left-wing contingent that always bitches about how establishment Democrats are, you know, they don't do any good, and they're, you know, and like, dude, John Lewis is as establishment Democrat as you can get.
Oh, I
know.
And
look at what he just did.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up with the Bernie people, because I'm at really officially the point, well, I'm long past the point, let's be honest here, of just being fed up with the nonsense. I was going through the comments on the Salon Facebook page under the post for my most recent article about the sit-in in the House. And I flagged a few comments here. I just wanted to read them for you. Let's bring up some comment music, huh? These were all Bernie supporters, of course. And again, the Democrats have done something really special. I mean, I thought that was an interesting tactic. I think it was obviously a functioning tactic. All that's been discussed on social media for the last 25 hours has been the sit-in, and now CNN is challenging Paul Ryan, and they, you know, the big question is, are they in the pockets, are the Republicans in the pockets of the NRA? The answer is resoundingly yes, they are. Of course. But then the Bernie people are still fighting a fight from 2 months ago.
Yes, of course they are.
And so here were some of the comments. These were lovely.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
I'm impressed with their theatrics to draw a contrast before November. It's not going to work for wooing Sanders supporters.
This is not about you.
Yeah,
it's not about you, you f***.
I know. It's
like, you don't matter. This is not about wooing. John Lewis didn't sit there going, we got to do something about getting these, we got to do something about getting these, like, 30,000 millennials. We have to do that. Because obviously the party's going to fail if we don't get 30,000 white entitled millennials on our side.
Right. This wasn't about gun violence. This wasn't about 49 people shot in cold blood in Orlando or any of the multitude of people before
them. God damn it. The level of arrogance and narcissism that takes.
Oh, yeah.
To think that the Democratic Party and its candidate, who won by millions of votes, has to turn and kowtow to the Bernie faithful.
That's right. But I mean, again, it was a massively tragic event in Orlando. Yep. This is a gun epidemic in the country where there is just there's one of these gun massacres, it seems like every other day, to the point where one bleeds into the next, which bleeds into the next, which bleeds into the next, and it's a crisis in the United States where anyone can go into a gun store and pick up a military style assault weapon and then modify the magazine so it just can spray bullets at human beings. And they've turned this into, well, it's just the Democrats trying to woo Sanders supporters, and it's not going to work. What? Where did that come from?
Exactly.
The next comment was, this is nice. I'm going to mention this guy's name. I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, but it's Dave Kreiselman. He said, "F*** John Lewis and the Black Caucus. It'll be a cold day in hell before I'll make common cause with those a**s. The burners are not going to forget."
Wow. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
You know what? You know what? Years ago, Cream Magazine did this issue where somebody wrote into their reader mail at the beginning, and he basically ripped apart the magazine, and they posted his comment. And then what Cream did to get back at him was for the rest of that issue, every single caption for every photo mentioned his name somewhere. So there was a picture of Sean. His name was Joe Deli Russo. And there was a picture of Sean Penn throwing a punch, and the caption was like, "Take back what you said about me and Joe Deli Russo." Like, they just mocked this guy. And so from now on, John Kreiselman is like our guy.
Yeah, that's
He is our Joe Deli Russo.
Kreiselman.
Kreiselman. John Kreiselman, fuck you.
John Lewis and the Black Caucus. And I actually responded to that comment on the Salon Facebook page. I was like, "Fuck the Black Caucus," I put in quotes. "Fuck the Black Caucus," and then I put a dash, "Dave Kreiselman." And then I put my response underneath it. Good luck peddling that one. Because, good Lord, can you imagine going anywhere in public and saying, "Fuck the Black Caucus"?
Good luck.
Jesus Christ. The burners are not going to forget.
Oh, wow.
Because John Lewis endorsed Hillary Clinton and not Bernie Sanders.
20 years from now, John Kreiselman will be like, "The burners don't forget.
This is not about Bernie or you."
Jesus.
I can picture John Kreiselman as Jon Snow with this crow outfit on. You know, the North remembers. The burners remember.
Yeah. Well, here's a couple more. LOL, a bunch of sellouts trying to appear progressive. And then the final one, this might be my second favorite after Dave Kreiselman.
You just know that guy's saying that, like, John Lewis got the shit kicked out of him during the civil rights movement. Like, right. that guy has been just raked over the coals. The things he has done to stand up for progressive politics. Meanwhile, this guy who wrote that comment, you know that he's like, I stubbed my toe outside a vape shop one time.
Right. So f*** John Lewis and f*** the Black Caucus. Elaine Lane writes, "Go home. Sanders supporters see through your dog and pony show." It's not working. Yeah. It's like, you can just imagine.
That life has to be, like, so difficult. Like, you know that this woman just went, she, like, goes and buys groceries, and, like, you know, the guy said paper or plastic. She's like, "The burners won't tolerate your plastic bag."
That's right. I always imagine them standing around in a semicircle looking at a bank of television monitors at all of the proceedings on the House floor and going, "Not impressed. Nope, not going to do it. We're not convinced. We're not coming over to your side, sellouts. F*** the Black Caucus."
Find that. Can we find John Kreiselman? Because we should do, seriously, we should make a t-shirt that says F*** the Black Caucus and mail it to him. And say, "We want you to wear this. This is from us."
Yeah. I'm looking at his page right now. I'm looking at his Facebook page
right now.
You
believe so strongly in this, then please wear this shirt.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, of all things that you post under something like that, the Democrats, the only group of people in the United States Congress who are following the will of 90%, not just 90% of the American people, but in one circumstance, 90% of Republicans. 90% of Republicans think that suspects on the terror watch list shouldn't be allowed to buy, you know, assault rifles.
Right.
Oh, my God. Well, also, in addition to all of that, Louis Gohmert interrupted the sit-in at one point. Walking in there with his melon head, screaming. He started screaming, "Radical Islam killed these people."
No, it didn't.
Yeah,
radical Islam didn't have a goddamn thing to do with it. Nothing at all to do with it.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. It was to be like if I went in and shot up a bunch of people and then called the Westboro Baptist Church and said, I just shot a bunch of people. Can I be part of your club? And that would somehow connect me to them. And then, so therefore, it was the Westboro Baptist. No. It does not work that way. That's not how this all goes. You don't just get to say, I'm part of ISIS, and then you actually are. No.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. Okay. So, Louis Gohmert went in there, started screaming about radical Islam. We're talking about radical Islam, Gohmert yelled, waving his finger at protesters featuring photos of victims of the recent mass shooting in Orlando, Florida gay club. Radical Islam killed these people.
Right.
Don't cast aspersions on my asparagus. Gohmert was shouted down by Democrats chanting, no fly, no gun, and don't let terrorists have a gun, which doesn't quite have the rhythm to it, but that was fine. The footage taken from representatives' social media feeds and aired on C-SPAN showed the chaotic atmosphere at the ongoing sit-in. Democrats were protesting GOP leaders' refusal to hold votes on measures that would keep individuals on certain federal government terror watch lists from buying firearms. Just like Louis Gohmert just randomly wandering, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to disrupt the sit-in. I don't care for all this sitting around. Once again, I mean, I always have to point out, every time Louis Gohmert comes up in the news, he's an elected member of the United States Congress. There are only 535 people in both chambers of Congress total, and Louis Gohmert is one of them. Out of the 320 million people in the United States, we have selected a narrow group of 535 men and women to represent us. One of those people is Louis Gohmert.
Amazing, isn't it?
Meanwhile, Paul Ryan is saying that this is all a big publicity stunt. The guy who pretended to wash dishes at, what was that, like a homeless shelter or something like that, pretended to wash dishes for a photo op. The guy who's, participated in 50 different ceremonial votes to overturn Obamacare is concerned about the fact that the sit-in was a publicity stunt. Well, you know what? That's what politics is. Politics is half publicity stunts.
Of course it is.
We're doing this to make a point. We're doing this because not only is it important to make sure that suspected terrorists aren't walking around with arsenals of firearms that they've picked up at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Right.
But it's also, a matter of pointing out that the Republicans are repeatedly defying the will of the American people. I mean, the polling is unequivocal.
Yep.
Support for the gun control measures has been extraordinarily strong. This is according to the latest CNN poll. 92% say they wanted expanded background checks. 92% of American voters. 87% support banning felons or people with mental health problems from buying firearms. 85% say it would ban people on the federal watch list from buying guns. And among Republicans, that number is even higher. As I said before, 90% say they favor preventing people on the terror watch list or the no-fly list from buying a gun. So what was the vote in the United States Senate last week after the filibuster? About 50-50. It was 53-47 on one measure, 44-56 on another, 47-53 on another. Not even anywhere close to being reflective of the will of the people. Now, I can understand. You say, well, okay, maybe there's a 60% support for this or 60% opposition to that, and they still go forward and they defy the will of popular opinion at that point in time. Certainly the mob is not always the end-all be-all of what should happen legislatively.
Right.
Here I am calling the American voters the mob. But in some cases it's kind of true. We get all the townspeople from Simpsons-ish, and we get our torches and pitchforks, and we're often wrong. So in that case, I can understand it. But when you're at 90% among Republicans, and most Republicans voted against, all Republicans voted against this legislation, even though 90% of Republicans supported it. And Paul Ryan won't even bring a vote because he's concerned about due process.
He's so f***.
Jesus, due process. We're talking about due process. The party that gave us the USA Patriot Act gave us Guantanamo Bay, and he's worried about due process. All right, we're going to talk about shaving razors. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the sit-in in Congress, and then, God, Steve King is in the news again. Thank God.
Steve, very strong. He going rogue.
Steve going rogue. Steve talking about the sit-in as if he's Dan Bondi. Another Republican politician sounding eerily like... like Dan Bondi, right?
Guess what, Bobby Jones? You're gonna get evil scum.
Yes, we are. All right, let's talk about Harry's Razors, huh? You know, it may seem like there are no good choices in 2016. We either buy cheap disposable razors, like the blue ones I used to use, just to rip up my face, or we get someone to unlock a jewelry case so we can pay $30 for an 8-pack of Blaze. Well, this year, Americans are joining a revolution, saying no to insane prices and demanding an affordable shave that's in the top 1% of quality. See where I'm going with this? Just like the big brands, Harry's uses German-engineered 5-blade flex cartridges, complete with a lubricating strip, to build a wall against nicks and scrapes. Building a wall. Free-thinking men and women like us are endorsing Harry's shaving products with the slogan, "Good shave, good price." I have paid very little for my Harry's razors, and I'm getting the best shaves of my life. No more razor burn. My face feels great. Smooth, clean shave every damn day. Your Harry's starter kit includes the Truman razor, some of those great blades, and Harry's great-smelling moisturizing shave cream for just $15. That's half of what you pay for just the blades from the other guys, because Harry's has its own blade factory and ships all those blades directly to you with no middleman to drive up the price. Use the code BANDC when you check out at harrys.com and buy all your... Stop buying junk razors or paying too much for quality. That's HARRYS.com.
Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, welcome back to today's show. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. All right, so, Steve, very strong, he going rogue. Steve King is in the news again today.
Steve, very strong, he going rogue.
Everyone's talking about his tweet from earlier. I know Mary Elizabeth Williams wrote about it in Salon.
Good piece.
He writes here on Twitter, "I've had it with the gun-grabbing Democrats and their sit-in anti-Second Amendment jihad. I'm going to go home and buy a new gun."
Wow. That's so perfect.
Yeah.
You whiny baby.
Once again, another Republican where if you actually read this like Dan Bondi, no one would take him seriously.
But gun-grabbing.
He's that gun-grabbing cameraman. He hates that gun, Second Amendment-hating gun-grabbing cameraman, Rhode Island senator.
He says, "You go do that, Steve. You run off and go rogue and buy yourself that. Go home and buy yourself that gun. And please, by all means, target practice in your mouth."
I'm gonna buy a gun because I'm gonna troll all them liberals, all them gun-grabbing Democrats.
Steve, very strong. He going rogue.
He said here.
Is that a traditionally right-wing thing, or does the left do that as well? I have a real issue with that, and I know that about different subjects, we've brought that up so many times.
Oh, like, yeah, I know.
It's like the rolling coal thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, where they can't just disagree with something. They have to be fucking babies about it and go, "Well, you know what? The libtards don't like that. Well, I'm going to do lots of it."
Yeah, I remember watching Glenn Beck one day when he was doing his Fox News show. And he was talking about, it was on Earth Day, in fact. And on Earth Day, he thought it would be great to troll liberals by leaving his SUV idling out in front of whatever the Fox News studio was, just waiting there with the engine idling and just spewing CO2 into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's just like, we're just going to troll now. That's what it is. I'm going to go buy this retail product, and that'll show those gun-grabbing Democrats. I've had it with them gun-grabbing Democrats and their sit-in anti-Second Amendment jihad. I'm going to go home and buy a gun. How is that going to benefit anybody except the gun manufacturers? And that's what this all comes down to. This is what I was talking about in Salon this morning. that it's all about the Republicans just using and exploiting the Second Amendment as a means to sell more firearms. And that's what they're tasked with. That's their goal now. That's their mission. Sell as many guns as possible. I need to go into the whole diatribe again, but that's absolutely the case. Paul Ryan's, oh, well, it's not really on the up and up what they're doing. It's a publicity stunt. And what about due process? Never mind that the Patriot Act, don't look over there, but it's all about due process. Yeah, well, you know what? You guys are just selling guns.
Right.
Yeah. You're just pitchmen for Bushmaster and all these firearm manufacturers that are making record profits.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with making record profits, but if you're doing it by hiding behind the Second Amendment, and if you're doing it in the defiance of the American people, where, again, 92% of the American voters say, no, it's probably a bad idea for the terrorists to buy firearms whenever they want here in the United States. It's like, you know, Louis Gohmert going in and disrupting the sit-in and saying, you know, this is all about radical jihad and my asparagus. And then, you know, not realizing that you're talking about a guy who you're insisting is a member of radical Islam, who was able to easily walk in and buy a Sig Sauer MCX.
Yeah.
Easily. Why?
Yeah, that's the thing here. There are two things that are important. One is that, one is the gun, and the other is that he targeted gay people.
That's right.
He targeted gay people. You can make the argument he targeted gay people and he targeted Hispanics.
Yeah, yeah.
But because the fucking, you know, the radical Islam, mm-hmm. That works really well as a distraction for the right.
Yeah.
But that's absolutely meaningless. It is garbage. And by the way, I am somebody who doesn't, you know, I'm not a fan of Islam in terms of, I think that there is an issue with that particular religion around the world right now at this very moment in our history. Yeah. I think there is a problem with it. So I am not against calling Islamic terrorism what it is.
Yeah.
But this was not it.
Yeah.
This was not that. This was him using that as an excuse to make himself more masculine and to cover up for the fact that he was actually gay.
And by the way, it's not just about the terrorism either. When we're talking about Islam and the problems with Islam, there, Bill Maher pointed out the other night, there are 10 Islamic countries with Islamic theocracies where it is illegal to leave Islam. It's in 10 countries in the world. It is illegal for you to renounce Islam and leave the faith. This is a very screwed up guy.
Right.
Who acted out on all kinds of anger and all kinds of self-importance and may have had steroids, may have been a big part of it. We're going to talk about this guy, this Trump bro in Phoenix. You talk about someone who's the deadly cocktail of Donald Trump fanaticism, Donald Trump zealotry, and steroids, perfectly on display with the Trump bro in Phoenix. We're going to take we're going to talk about that after another break. There is such a victim complex among them. They feel like this is the last gasp for white people.
That's absolutely what it is.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about.
And they're totally angry about it. And you know what? Quite frankly, it is the last gasp for white people, for white men, right, as far as dominating what goes on in the United States. And these guys, well, you know what? We're going to get into lots of detail as far as the Trump row goes right after these words. Hello, Bob here. Last year, I discovered Tweaked Audio for the greatest earbuds ever. And I can honestly say I'm totally spoiled now. I can't imagine using anything else. They're quite literally the finest earbuds available. Go now to our website, bobseska.com, and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. Tweaked Audio is about comfort and quality for every ear in a variety of colors, including natural wood grain. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise, and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. You'll like the prices, too. And if you use the code BANC, that's BANDC at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for tweaked audio at bobseska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yes, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link. Go shopping right now. Buy yourself something nice, Widoja. Hey. Go do that at Amazon.com and get to it through the BobSeska.com Amazon link. It's right. Big capital letters just under the logo at BobSeska.com. And we get a small commission from everything you buy, and it costs you nothing and helps support the show. So thanks in advance for doing that. Okay, so moving along here with the show today. Trump just forgave his campaign $50 million in campaign loans. So he... He gave his campaign out of his own pocket $50 million, and he's forgiven the campaign. The campaign is not going to have to pay him back. That's kind of how it works. If you use your own money and you give it to your campaign, it becomes the campaign's money, and then it's the onus is on the campaign to repay you that money. So you're, you know, recouping that debt at some point. And he's not going to do it. He's just given the campaign $50 million. And everyone talks about this guy's business acumen. Isn't one of the main things in business to not spend your own money on business endeavors? Republican Donald Trump has forgiven nearly $50 million in loans he made to his presidential campaign, he said on Thursday, signaling to donors that future contributions will be used to fight Democrat Hillary Clinton and not to repay himself. The announcement that Trump will not seek repayment of the loans via contributions came amid concerns from his backers that he does not have enough money to fund his campaign for the November 8 election. He had only $1.3 million in cash to start the month. Quote, I have absolutely no intention of paying myself back for the nearly $50 million I have loaned to the campaign.
I feel like a supermodel, except like times 10.
Yeah, well, you'd have more money if you did. The New York developers has suggested he could use more of his personal wealth to help win the White House. Well, he's going to have to. He has no real fundraising infrastructure set up. What is he? I think he's got a total staff of 30 people.
Yeah. Mm.
30 people. And he expects to compete. Hillary Clinton is going to destroy him on money. I mean, all she's going to have to do. I mean, he's getting a lot of free media because of his stupid blurting and his stump speeches. But she's going to be able to get not only the free media, she's going to be able to outspend him in just about every market. I mean, she's going to have the money to be able to put states like Georgia in play.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a big effing deal. And when he's only got $1.3 million in cash and no fundraising infrastructure, I mean, I wonder, I mean, does he have field offices? I mean, it seems incomprehensible that the Republican nominee for president doesn't have any campaign infrastructure set up for the general election. Whereas normally, I mean, isn't it where when campaigns get established at some point, they set up the field offices the very first thing? They're established months before the announcement even takes place, or they're at least starting to call around, starting to price out renting office space and so on.
Yeah, no, he's a train wreck. I mean, it's just this whole campaign is a disaster.
Right. And it's just about to get worse because Corey Lewandowski was just hired exclusively by CNN.
Yeah, I never do this sort of thing, but I tweeted at Brian Stelter.
And what did you say?
I'm like, you can't be on board with this. You are the voice of journalistic conscience at that network. Uh-huh. You know, Stelter is the sort of unofficial ombudsman. You know,
yeah.
So he has to want to say something.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me if he wanted to talk, if he wanted to dish dirt about the Trump campaign, that he would do it in some print form, like an editorial in the Wall Street Journal, or he'd write a book about it. But I get the sense then that when he's on CNN, it's just going to be like horse race crap, like pundit horse race.
Right.
Rather than something where, Lewandowski's now going to really dish the dirt on what happened, happened behind the scenes.
No, of course not. But this guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, he's still the person who manhandled a reporter.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's still a thug. He really is.
He's really, yeah. And he's basically like let's see, in a Trump White House, Lewandowski would have been, and now it'd be probably be someone like Paul Manafort, but in a Trump White House, Lewandowski would have been like the chief of staff. Yeah. He would have been, he would have ended up being like the co-president. And
the
this guy, like
the
you said,
world's worst Leo McGarry.
Exactly. But he's like Leo McGarry mixed with like some ruffian.
Vince McMahon.
Like the ruffian sidekick from an old Little Rascals episode or something like that. He's like a mafia enforcer going around. And of course, the hiring comes just 3 days after Trump fired Lewandowski, ending the tenure of the fiery operative who faced a steady string of controversies while guiding Trump's skeleton campaign operation to a shocking victory in the 2016 Republican presidential primary. That same afternoon, in his first in-studio interview, was with Dana Bash. Following his interview with Bash on Monday, Lewandowski went straight from the set and into a meeting with CNN executives, according to a separate source who witnessed Lewandowski enter the meeting. Though CNN is often the target of Trump's insults, Trump has a history with CNN President Jeff Zucker. Trump's reality show, The Apprentice, appeared on NBC in 2004 when Zucker was the president of NBC's television group.
Just amazing.
Yeah, really. Talk about incestuous. In an interview with Politico earlier this month, MSNBC's Joe Scarborough said Trump had once called Zucker his personal booker.
God damn.
CNN declined to respond to Scarborough's comments. By the way, Joe Scarborough, let's just talk about this a second. Joe Scarborough described Trump's, like, basically his lie-filled anti-Hillary rant the other day as being pivoting to the general election.
What an
Just remarkably stupid. I mean, talk about maybe the second biggest Trump bootlicker out there next to Chris Christie. Yeah. Trump has been ripping Morning Joe to shreds on practically a daily basis. And there's Joe Scarborough kissing Trump's ass. So, Well, look at that. I mean, he's used some teleprompters. He mentioned foreign policy there a little bit. Must be a pivot. That's what you call. I think the exact quote from Scarborough was, "That's what you call a pivot."
Wow, what an idiot.
Congratulations, Trump. Joe Scarborough thinks you've successfully pivoted.
Yep.
Good job. Good job. Barely doing anything. I mean, the fact check of Trump's speech the other day is insane. I mean, I think the PolitiFact article was, I don't know, 5,000 words just to go through and debunk all of Trump's lies. There are seven big ones that Talking Points memo talked about. This is the one where he was going after crooked Hillary, blah, blah, blah. He said, this is one of the big lies that he's always repeating. The U.S. has the highest tax rate in the world.
Wow, dear God, what...
It really, really is.
Yeah, just something that anybody can double check.
Yeah, data on tax rates from the 34 industrialized nations in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development found that the U.S. was somewhere near the middle of the pack in 2014, trailing far behind countries such as Norway, New Zealand, Luxembourg, Sweden. Clinton has no plan to screen millions of new Syrian refugees. Trump has used that a bunch of different times. While Clinton has said that she would call for the U.S. to accept 65,000 Syrian refugees, a 550% increase, she also said she would, immediately to put into place the mechanism for vetting the people that we would take in. So what that sentence, that awkward sentence, means that she would vet them. She wouldn't just... Right. Let them in without screening them, as Trump said. Hundreds of recent immigrants have been convicted of terror charges, according to Donald Trump. While the New American Foundation, a Washington, D.C. think tank, found that 139 immigrants were implicated in jihad-inspired terrorist activity in the U.S., this number is far lower than the number of attacks carried out by anti-government activists, white supremacists, or other non-Muslim extremists. Well, okay.
She just... I mean, oh God, everything that comes out of his mouth is crap.
Yeah, and this was
it's just all nonsense.
This was a scripted speech that he was reading off a teleprompter. This is his big pivot. This is, right. Now that's what you call a pivot. God, what a goddamn idiot.
I feel like a supermodel, except like times 10.
Times 10. Trump was one of the first to criticize the Iraq War. Throughout the 2016 race, Trump has stuck to the claim that he was among the earliest to criticize the rush to war.
Absolute nonsense.
Absolute nonsense.
A lie he has told over and over and over again that is absolutely untrue.
Yeah. In a 2000 book, Trump claimed he would understand the rationale for a U.S. military intervention in Iraq if Iraq was found to have nuclear weapons. When asked in 2002 if he supported the invasion, he said, "Yeah, I guess so." I love that. Yeah, my reaction to this, do I support the war? Maybe not. I don't know. But I do tell you, I have the best words.
Yep.
He also said Clinton slept through the 3 a.m. phone call the night of the Benghazi attacks.
God. He's just pulling this stuff out of his ass.
And he specifically said the 3 a.m. phone call. I know he's referencing the Hillary Clinton ad from 2008, the 3 a.m. phone call.
Yep.
But, of course, the news of the attack broke at about 9 p.m. on the East Coast.
Yep.
She was working from home. God. U.S. trade deficit with China is soaring during soared during Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State. No, according to the Washington Post fact check of this claim, which Trump had tweeted Tuesday ahead of the speech, the real estate mogul's estimate overshoots the mark by more than double. The deficit stood at $268 billion when President Barack Obama was elected in 2008 and was at $315 billion when Clinton left the State Department in 2012. Right? That's $47 billion change, and it translates to a 17.5% increase. Which, according to Trump, is soaring. Let the eagles soar.
It's just a joke. It's just a freaking joke, the whole thing.
And then he said, finally here, Clinton accepted $58,000 in jewelry from the leaders of Brunei. While Clinton did receive gold, sapphire, and diamond jewelry amounting to that sum from Brunei's queen, she did not keep the goods as all of the gifts were turned over to the U.S. government, as is required by federal effing law.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the word effing wasn't in the Talking Points memo article that I'm reading here. So yeah. Just want to make that abundantly clear. Okay, we're going to take one last break. When we come back, Alex Jones and Roger Stone are imagining bondage at the RNC, plus Cenk Uygur says that, oh God. Well, I'm not even going to tease it. Cenk Uygur said something stupid. Really stupid.
Oh, I'm surprised.
We're going to talk about that right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Summer music.
Pow, pow, power.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, welcome back to our Thursday show. Thank you. Thank you so much for supporting the show at Patreon.com/Bob and Chez. If you haven't yet, go do it. Do it right now. It's about time. About damn time to do it. Okay, so I guess we should talk about this guy. His name is Zachary Fisher. He's this this crazy Trump bro who showed up at this thing in Phoenix and was just screaming incoherently.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no better representation. I mean, I know it's kind of silly to talk about this guy. I've got a little bit of the audio here.
And again, I can't stress this enough. Trump wouldn't piss on these kinds of people if they were on fire.
Oh, I know. I know.
I mean, Trump, there's certainly nothing Trump loves more than adulation.
Yeah.
But Trump has spent his entire life building penthouses he can, you know, lavish, garish penthouses he can ensconce himself in to stay away from fucking this kind of idiot riffraff.
That's right. This guy, his name is Zachary Fisher, on Saturday at a Trump rally, it was outside a Trump rally. This guy started shouting at protesters who were there. I think it were Latino protesters. And he was shouting at them, "Go fucking cook my burrito, bitch."
Yeah,
among
sure.
other things. "If I fucked your whole fucking family with my big cock," he also said. Classy guy, wasn't it?
Total.
Class act, just like most Trump supporters. They know how to, the apple doesn't fall from the clown car.
No.
I don't even know if that makes any sense. Then he started chanting, "I love Trump, I love Trump, I love my country." You know what's hilarious to me? This just occurred to me. It's something I've been thinking about a while, for a few weeks now at least, and it just popped into my head just now. You know the whole idea of making America great again? It's so ironic to hear that from conservatives who they're all about, well, don't fuck the government. Don't let the government do anything. Let the free market
Exactly.
make things great again. So these are all disciples of a man who they're hoping will lead them to making America great again. That this guy is somehow going to wave his magic wand and you know, pull a rabbit out of his fake hair and
sure.
do something miraculous that's going to make America. Why are you waiting for this guy to do it? Since when is, you know, the government supposed to make anything, much less great again?
Yeah.
By the way, this guy fired off an AR-15 rifle in a series of Instagram videos.
Of course he did.
And, you know, Trump loves the poorly educated, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, so this character really, to me, exemplifies the Trump bro. The kind of people we're going to be swatting down on Facebook and Twitter for the next 4 months. It's going to be nothing but that. And, you know, I wrote in the Banter magazine that's out today right now, by the way, that every one of us who are active in politics on our social media platforms, we're going to see these people are going to come out of the woodwork. This is the first of many. It's like cockroaches. You see one, there are 1,000 more hiding in the walls. And we've yet to really confront them. If we thought the Bernie bros were bad, if we thought some of the Hillary bots were bad, whatever your perspective might be, you haven't seen anything yet until 1,000 Zachary Fishers show up screaming at you to fix their fucking burrito. And you know what's going to be worse? Is when something happens that they don't like at the convention. Say the Republicans revolt and there's at least an attempt to replace Trump at the convention. It's
going to be absolutely insane. Absolutely. And it's kind of a beautiful thing that's the position he's put them in. Like there's no way that they don't want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Because they know the disaster they have on their hands.
Yeah.
But they absolutely can't. I mean, the revolt, Jesus Christ, idiots like this guy, like Zachary freaking Fisher would grab his Sig Sauer and go try to kill Paul Ryan.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that at some point there would be shots fired.
I just suddenly thought, is it a meatloaf? Will Zachary Fisher try to kill Paul Ryan? Absolutely.
Oh yeah, God, absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
But meanwhile, if something happens that's untoward at the convention, Alex Jones and Roger Stone are ready for it. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and former Trump advisor Roger Stone are just like they're a couple of peas in a crazy pod. Once again, this is from our good friends at Little Green Footballs. Once again, conspiracy peddler Alex Jones played host to Trump advisor Roger Stone. And this one was a doozy. Jones and Stone vowed to show up for the Republican convention in Cleveland and stage a demonstration. Get ready for this. Where we all wear ball gags in our mouth. Yeah.
How can anyone take Alex Jones seriously?
I don't know. I mean, I only do because I know he's got a gigantic audience. That's right. the only reason I do.
No, I get it. I get
but
it.
I mean, the people who actually do take him seriously as kind of their Pied Piper, as the leader of their conspiracy theory movement, that's what boggles the mind. And all I can do is pinpoint paranoia, schizophrenia, maybe as part of the reason why they do that. But I don't know. You listen to Alex Jones and you hear him going off about juice boxes and shape-shifting lizard people in outer space and how, you know, Barack Obama used tiny airplane and helicopter move all them tornadoes around. You know, Jesus Christ, this is but everyone's going, yeah, it's exactly right. Yes, Obama did move those tornadoes with tiny airplanes and helicopters. Yes, of course he did. Roger Stone and Alex Jones claim that local officials are trying to stoke violence among the various RNC demonstrators, which led Jones to wonder if they should hold a rally before the convention where they wear ball gags in their mouths.
I certainly hope so.
If they
bring out the gimp.
If they steal a nomination, it will cause a revolution, Jones said. They're that arrogant, though. Obviously, common sense is he won more votes than any Republican in history. He's the nominee. He's the populist. He's got 25% of blacks going for him. Republicans can't even get 10%. He's got the gays all behind him now. He's reaching out. We're finding the real Donald Trump that you and I already knew. It's total victory. Yeah, no, there's so much here, and I'm just sure you're about to jump in on that.
I just, you know, if he shows up in a ball gag, all I'm hoping is that Marcellus Wallace is there with some hard pipe-hitting to go to work on the Holmes.
Exactly. Holy yes.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this is so wrong. Alex Jones honestly believes that 25% of African Americans are supporting Donald Trump.
Right. I mean, well, you know, I mean, and that's the beautiful thing about it is that that's the most sane thing he's ever said. When you consider all the other insane things that he pronounces
yeah,
daily,
that's
typical crazy.
Yeah,
Alex Jones is like far next level crazy.
Yeah.
Usually,
25% of African Americans going for him.
Literally?
No, not literally. It's actually very, very wrong. I think Trump's unfavorables with African Americans, it's like 98%. Unfavorable among African. Oh, he's still, all the blacks are with him. The gays are with him now because he likes the gays. Listen to talk to the gays. That's what Trump said.
That's what he meant when he said my African American. There he is, my one African American.
That is my African American.
That is my guy right there because there aren't any others.
I feel like a supermodel except like times 10.
Yeah. I guess that means 10 supermodels are with Donald Trump. Republicans can't even get two. He's got 10 of them.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. They have embraced this lunacy. And this, they have no choice now. They have to stick with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just some. It's not just a narrow percentage of gay people supporting Trump. Alex Jones says all the gays are behind him now.
But you know what it is? I mean, that's more of what we've talked about, where they live in this bubble.
Yeah.
And inside that bubble, you know what? Inside that bubble, Obamacare is communism. And all the gays love Donald Trump. And you know why they love Donald Trump? Because he has the best hands. And that means, you know what that means? If he's got the best and the biggest hands, that's why the gays love Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's got the best.
And the blacks, it's not even black people. The blacks, they love Donald Trump.
Right.
The blacks love Donald Trump.
And the gays,
Right. The only way he could get more offensive is if he suddenly went singular. When the black and the Jew and the homosexual love Donald Trump.
You know who else loves Donald Trump?
Obama!
Yep. Yeah, Obama loves Donald Trump.
Obama! Really into Donald Trump, isn't he?
Yeah, totally. Barack Obama, the Pew poll came out the other day, surveyed Barack Obama. Barack Obama, 100% of Barack Obamas are supporting Donald Trump right now.
Obama!
100% of Barack Obamas are supporting Donald Trump right now. That's absolutely something that Alex Jones would say. Jones said that if Trump is somehow defeated at the convention, he will reach the point where he will be forced to give jobs to people like George Will. I don't even know what that means. He said here, at what point do I not get on my knees and then bow down and ask George Will to pull it out? Do I bow to George Will and say no to George Will? I am not getting on my knees and do. Oh, I get what you're saying.
Look,
I am
look,
not.
Look,
I'm not getting on my knees and do a you know what.
That's
what
he's doing. There's a really good reason why there. I guarantee you there isn't a fucking woman on earth who listens to the Alex Jones show.
Right. And that's because probably
that
why.
That is the most disturbing, least sexual thing I have ever heard. The idea of this fat prick talking about ball gags and giving to George Will.
Yes. Now there's a mental image. Meatloaf, would you like to see Alex Jones giving to George Will?
Absolutely.
Just wow.
Oh, God. Yeah, exactly right. So disgusting. And then
that is seriously the least sexually attractive man I think that exists on this planet.
Well, it's a toss up between George Will and Alex Jones. Of course, Kramer from Seinfeld thought George Will was quite attractive.
Yeah. Well, George Will would just, George Will would be perhaps I will take out my phallus and what I'm hearing in the Beltway is that most people, a preponderance of voters, say that my phallus is attractive. Yeah. Attractive.
You know, Casey Stengel used to deliver an old yarn about getting from conspiracy theorists.
Exactly. He goes back to a baseball story.
Oh, and then Roger Stone concluded by saying, "See you in Cleveland and get your gag ready."
Wow.
You know what? I think today's the name of today's show is going to be Ball Gag.
I like that.
Ball Gag.
Yeah.
Thanks for that mental image. And by saying thank you, I mean something else that doesn't involve the word thank. All right. The postmortem show is coming up next. We're going to talk about how Trump might convince some Bernie people to join him, at least according to Cenk Uygur.
Shocking.
And a little bit more, a reaction from the Clinton campaign about Trump possibly being replaced. And then maybe, I was going to talk about this on Tuesday, I was like, maybe I'll put it off. That ex-cop who posted that video calling for armed attacks on Black Lives Matter protesters at the RNC. The Republican National Convention... Set your DVRs, people. It is going to be
insane.
Historic. All right, the postmortem show is next. We'll see you at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Take care, folks. See you on the after party tomorrow. Bye-bye.